This is an ABC podcast.
Just a heads up, this episode talks about issues like addiction and suicide.
The first big win is usually how it starts. I used to take a couple of hours on Sundays to go to the raffles with my mum and sister. That was good, but we always used to have a social flutter. Back then it was the days of the 20-cent coins going in. And we used to go a raffle, go in and have a game and then go home. And then came the day that I won something big.
Hey, I'm Larice Dixon. In this episode of the Newcastle Hunter Catch-Up, you'll hear from Maria, a former gambling addict who quit the pokies 22 years ago to the day. You'll also learn a bit about the cashless gaming trial happening in Newcastle and how its impacts may ripple across the rest of New South Wales. Maria's first big win was also her downfall. It made her easy prey when poker machines changed from coins to notes, just hoping for another big win.
Most compulsive gamblers don't see it while it's happening. The big acceleration came when they brought note feeders in. You might as well stand out the front of the club and burn money in your hand. That's how quick it gets taken up. And it just got more and more and more and more.
Around this time, Maria's husband had an accident at work and she became the main breadwinner. She'd work through the week while also caring for her husband, something she's never begrudged. But when she wanted to find a bit of time to herself, she also found the pokies.
When your mind is taken over by this illness, you don't equate the numbers on the screen to the dollars until you run out. I know that I supplemented my income at one point because I was the breadwinner. My husband had no idea what was going on. So I turned to, what would you call it, white-collar crime, and I was caught because there's always someone younger and smarter. And I lost a job that I'd had for 30 years. No entitlements, no benefits, no nothing, just out the door with the old cardboard box.
Maria's life hasn't been easy. She told me that she even attempted suicide at just 9 years old. But 22 years ago, it got as low as it could get.
Oh, God, that was an unbelievably horrendous day when I had to confess it all, but I did. That was another time I came close to suicide. And but because my husband's such a good guy, I didn't. And he got on to someone that he knew. Where should she go? And that's how I was introduced to GA, through a relative who knew about it.
That's the day she found Gamblers Anonymous, or as she describes it, the day her life began.
I described myself at my first meeting as the worst pond scum on the face of the planet. They're the words I used, and that's what I believed. I just felt so bad. I probably went through a whole box of tissues that first day, probably broke the hand of a lovely little lady that was sitting next to me. It's an hour and a half for a meeting. I walked out of there, John picked me up, and he said, how was it? And all I remember saying was, I'm not alone. But that was 22 years ago today.
Wow.
And I haven't touched a pokey in all that time, and I never want to. And in that time, I've never been to the club of my choice. I don't think I could ever walk through those doors again.
It can be hard to find a venue in New South Wales without pokies. There are nearly 100,000 in the state, or roughly one poker machine for every 80 people. In Newcastle, it's around one for every 50 adults. And there are countless small gambling addicts like Maria out there. You might even know one yourself.
I've watched a family member lose their entire house before, so doing it. I've watched patrons do it. I've watched it destroy a lot of lives, as you know, over and over again.
That's John Elsley, co-owner of the Grand Hotel in Newcastle. It's been a year since they got rid of their pokies, so I dropped by to see how it was all going.
Look, I don't know if I'm the poster boy for anti-pokies. Yes, I'd believe pokies are pretty much a stain on society. They shouldn't really exist, or at least should be a lot less accessible. It does make the whole industry a lot lazier and reliant on that income, where before you know, we had live music, we had, you know, pubs were pumping with just social aspects. It's not turned into big gaming lounges, which you do see a lot of them turn into at the moment.
So how, what's the process again of selling the pokies? Like, how did you go about that?
They weren't our machines to buy or sell. We didn't take any profit out of those 2 years, you know, selling it. They'd be local venues wherever they went, and you know, there were six here, so they only landed four, so the two were deleted forever.
So you were confident at the time that getting rid of the pokies, and I guess the people that come for the pokies potentially, you were confident that replacing it with, I guess, more dining options and more live music would make up for that, those patron numbers?
Yeah, pretty confident. I've it's not my first rodeo. Like, I've owned seven venues at the minute, and none of them have machines. So, yes, we do have to charge a little bit more for our food and drinks because we don't have that buffer, you know, which, look, I believe actually creates a really false economy. The publicans themselves, some can be like addicts to those machines, just like, you know, seeing what the numbers can do. Mm. Yeah.
Would there be any way of knowing if there has been any loss to the establishment since getting rid of the pokies, or you'd think it's still pretty much breaking even without them going?
It would be hard to say for this venue. Trade has close to doubled since we've got rid of them, but that's not to say it was because of the machines. It's maybe because we've done some pretty major works and, you know, changed up the offering at the pub. So
even though you don't have any pokies, and I'm sure you're not intending to get any back, can you see the cashless gaming working?
To be honest, I don't know. I think it could go either way here. I don't know if this is sort of like a front because no one carries cash anymore and they, you know, want to put more money through the machines because they can just go up and tap their card now rather than say, could it make it worse because you don't have to withdraw money. Like, that is a barrier to entry right now for most people. So I don't know whether it's going to help at all.
The Grand is one of a few Newcastle venues getting rid of poke machines. And you've also got the Lasso Gowrie and the Mark Hotel. Up in Queensland, one publican recently took hers to the tip. But a few machines here and there is a drop in the ocean when it comes to New South Wales.
So New South Wales is clearly the sort of throbbing heart of Australia's gambling business, and it's a very big business. On a per capita basis, we gamble more than anyone else on earth.
Associate Professor Charles Livingston is a gambling researcher from Monash University. I asked him how New South Wales compares to the rest of Australia and the world.
It's not as high as Nevada, of course, but it's probably about the second or third highest rate of poker machine per capita in the Western world anyway. Now, what does all this mean? It means that in 2022, people in New South Wales have spent over $7.5 billion on poker machines. That's the money they've lost. And that's just the machines in pubs and clubs. There'll be, you know, hundreds of millions more from the casinos and so on. So it's a massive problem.
If you've ever seen a poker machine, you'll know what they're like. Loud, colourful, with jackpots climbing ever higher.
For many people, particularly those who are trying not to gamble, it's like a siren call. It's very hard for them to resist that. The other reality is people under stress are much more likely to seek escape from that stress. And this is why we see machines proliferating in the least advantaged parts of the country. So in Sydney terms, for example, Fairfield, Canterbury Bankstown, the western, southwestern suburbs are where you see the massive concentrations of machines and the massive losses. I mean, Canterbury Bankstown and Fairfield between them will contribute losses of $1.2 billion in 2022. Massive amounts of money coming from the poorest communities because of this association between high stress and high demand.
One of the other major issues with poker machines is that they can be used to launder money. Tens of thousands in black market cash can go in, and clean cash can come out the other end, even if it's often a reduced amount. So the stakes are pretty high when it comes to cashless gambling.
If you take away those two streams of revenue, which undoubtedly this development of cashless pre-commitment system is likely to do, then it starts to make the revenue from poker machines less fantastic and a little bit more normal, more ambient revenue. So You know, if cashless works as I think it will, then it will make the incentives to hang on to the pokies less and improve the possibility of other alternative uses of that space and that capital works.
One thing Charles brings up is that it wouldn't be great for all poker machines to disappear, because gambling addicts will just find other ways. With cashless gaming machines, limits can be set. It's hard to get all the details on the cashless gambling trial which is happening in Newcastle, as it's still ongoing. Aristocrat, the company running the trial, referred us to previous government statements which detailed the self-imposed limits patrons can make. Session length, frequency of play, the amount spent, and a limit on bets. The New South Wales Coalition government says it will make all pokies cashless by 2028, while Labor says it would run a 12-month cashless gaming trial with at least 500 machines across the state. Meanwhile, Maria says political parties are addicts themselves.
I don't care what anybody says to me. I fully believe that the government is addicted to them as well. They get addicted to the revenue. And I feel for those areas because I know what it can lead to. They use their pensions to try and double their money. Before all of this happened, probably 30 years ago, I went somewhere for lunch with some workmate, went to the restroom, and there was a little old lady sitting in the corner crying her heart out. So I asked her, what's the matter? And she said she just did a whole pension. It was pension day. It can be your last $20. It's the same. It's still an addiction. If it makes you powerless, if you can't control what your choices are in that moment, then you have a problem.
Maria now speaks regularly at Gamblers Anonymous meetings and does a lot of work with the Gambling Impact Society of New South Wales. She wants people to know that help is out there.
I used to be the one who used to take a toilet break from the poker machine and be looking at the sign on the back of the door that says, do you have a problem? And it just goes vroom and go back to what I was doing. If you have any level of awareness that you have a problem, just look for help, because before long it's too late. If cashless gaming were to come in, I see that as a life jacket. Don't go down with the Titanic.
If this episode has raised any issues for you, Lifeline is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on 13 11 14. You can also call the National Gambling Helpline on 1800 858 858 or find help on its website. The Newcastle Hunter Catch-Up is presented and produced by me, Laurice Dixon. It's also produced by Michael Black and Toby Hemmings, with digital production by Cecilia Connell. Executive producers are Blythe Moore and Lucia Hill. If you like the pod, give us a review wherever you get your podcasts and like us on the ABC Listen app. I'll be back next week with more local stories from around Newcastle and the Hunter Valley.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.